In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. Let's continue our meditation on the Romans letter of St. Paul, chapter 12. You all know that in the last 11 chapters, St. Paul was delivering the message of Christian faith. He explained to everyone how salvation was done by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the law of Moses couldn't save anyone. And we need to believe in Christ, we need to be baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity in order to be saved. And our new life had nothing to do with the law of Moses, but with the law of Christ himself, the law of the New Testament. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. When you find the word therefore, he is, you know, moving from the doctrine of Christianity to the life of Christian people. He, like, presented all Christian faith in the last 11 chapters. Now he is commanding everyone to follow Christ in his life. It's like Christian behavior after having Christian faith. So, as we all know, we need to present our faith in our life. We need to live what we believe in. So it's not only just kind of ideas we believe in, but also commandments and rights and behavior we have to follow. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. By saying so, he's stating that there is no place now for the old sacrifices of the Old Testament. No animal sacrifices anymore. Now we don't have except the Eucharist, the holy body and holy blood of the Lord Christ. But we offer ourselves as living sacrifice. It doesn't mean that we have to die, but it means that we have to give our life totally to God. Our bodies in fasting, in praying, in serving people, that's the new offering of the New Testament. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. So God accepts now the holy sacrifices by his people, holy and acceptable to God, because it's all about love and about new faith, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Most of the people just follow others, follow the world behavior. So we need not to follow others, we need to be transformed into the image of the Lord. So he's saying, do not be conformed to this world. We have to be different. Everyone should see Christian people different from any other people. And we cannot do this unless we follow Christ and we take his image. We need to be filled with his Spirit. We need to focus on his commandments. We need to look up to his behavior in order to follow him in everything. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This kind of transformation, it's, you know, a dynamic action we should follow all our life. It's related to repentance, it's related to spiritual knowledge, to discipleship. That's the renewal of the mind. By having a new idea in my mind, I would behave differently. In this way, day after day, I will take the full image of Christ. In this way, we will all be saints like him. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's like a perfect model for everyone. Full picture of being holy man. In order to catch this full picture, we need to be transformed day after day by the work of the Spirit in our heart, by renewal of our mind, by focusing on Christ's image, by this, you know, we will catch this full holy picture. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the will of God is always perfect for everyone. But the will of man is not always going with the will of God. Many people stand against the will of God. They like to do what they like to do, but they do not want to follow God, to do His will. But in order to be a good Christian, you need to follow God's will. And the will of God is perfect and also acceptable and good. So nothing bad in the will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. By following God's will, you will understand that you have a mission in your life. And you shouldn't just be a copy of somebody else. You have to discover what's needed from you. It's your mission, and you are different from anyone. So you need not to believe in yourself more highly than you should, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So the Holy Spirit gives every one of the Christian people his mission in life. And God, you know, gave everyone some talents in order to do the mission. So you have to find out what's your talent and what's your mission in life. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Very good example to simplify the idea of the unified body of the church. All Christians who were baptized in the name of the Lord, they became members in His body. And members of the body are not the same, but they are all functioning for the sake of the body. They are functioning under the control of the mind. So they share together, they help each other, they feel each other, they work always in synergy, in synergism, but you know, they have different things to do. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same functions, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So the grace of God give different talents, different functions, different roles for different members, but they work together with love to each other in order to fulfill the full mission of church in this world. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. You know, the word prophecy in the New Testament is not only related to explaining what's going to happen in the future. It's all about sermons. It's all about, you know, teaching the Christian faith and encouraging everyone to follow the word of the Bible. So all spiritual lectures, kind of prophecy. So he's saying if anyone had this gift of prophecy, he should prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let's use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So it looks like different functions, different members, but they work together for the help, for the salvation of all members of the church. Somebody may not, you know, have any role in teaching, but they minister in the church. They serve. Somebody may be focusing on charity, other people on development, others may have this, you know, kind of giving, giving things or money or whatever they have. So different roles for different members, but they work together for the church. Let love be without hypocrisy. So love is not, you know, a function of some member, but it's, you know, needed from all the members. Love is like the blood going inside this body. It's like the sensation of all members. Love is, should be there in all services, in all servants, in all members. Love be without hypocrisy. Because, you know, if somebody show love and his heart is not pure, that's kind of hypocrisy. Love should be honest, should be faithful, shouldn't have this hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. We need to resist any evil thing and to stick to the good side of everything. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Now you can see that starting from chapter 12, it's full of, you know, commandments, behaviors, rules in life. It's not anymore like explaining the doctrine of Christianity. It's all about how to live our Christian life. You can revise this chapter on the words of the Lord in his Sermon on the Mountain. You know, when you read Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, you can easily find that the same teaching of St. Paul here in chapter 12 and after, very much related to the teaching of the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit means that you have to be a spiritual guy. It's not like doing things, but you have to feel the fire of the Spirit inside your heart. When you pray, you pray from your heart. When you serve people, you serve in a loving attitude, because you are guided by the Holy Spirit, who is like a fire. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. You know, these three usually come together. When you have hope, you feel happy. You feel the joy, rejoicing in hope. And having this hope, you will be patient while in tribulation. In times of troubles, you need to be patient. And this patience is the outcome of having the hope. When you hope in God, you just wait for his, you know, reward, for his interference with patience. And you need to pray in order to keep the hope and to have this patience. So rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saint, given to hospitality. St. Paul used to call the poor people of the church the saints. So he's telling everyone that we should care for these poor people, distributing the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. At that time, there were many kinds of persecution everywhere in the church, not only in Rome, but also in Asia, in Greece. So he's saying, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You know, at that reaction, usual reaction to the curse, people may curse back. But you know, for the persecuting people, you should bless them, not cursing them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. The real Christian love is kind of sharing fellowship with everyone. So when you find somebody is joyful, you have to share him, share his joy. And in weeping times, you weep with them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Remember the Lord himself when he shared in the wedding in Cana el Galil, and also when he visited Martha and Mary after the death of Lazarus. So in these two situations, he rejoiced, he shared in the joy and he shared in weeping. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. You know, having one mind, meaning that we, you know, respect each other and we come all together to one decision. We are sharing the same mind. We're having the same goal. We always sharing our ideas. We, you know, respect each other. And also, do not set your mind on high things. Don't consider yourself better than anyone. Don't believe in yourself much than you believe in others. God is always working in yourself and in others. And if you are humble enough, you will see everyone better than you. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. The problem of many Christian people that they believe in themselves as wise. They see themselves much better than anyone. In this case, they cannot respect others' opinion and they cannot share anything. And usually, they stumble people in service. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So we do not, you know, pay evil for evil. We are good and we do not have anything but good things to give. So whatever the evil around us, we still the people of God doing always good for everyone. Having regard for good things in the sight of all men. Everyone will look up to us as the good people of God. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So we have to keep the peace with everyone, the believers and the non-believers, as much as we can, because some people will not be happy to come closer to us, to be in any kind of relation with us. In this case, we have nothing to do. But we will try to live peaceably with everyone. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. So if you were hurt, if many people persecuted you, never ever think of having the avenge. Do not revenge. Because, you know, leave this to God. God is fair. God is just. He will take this avenge. You know, rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, say the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. When you give the hungry and the thirsty what they need, you are putting the fire of love on their heads. You know, you are killing the hatredness in their heart. You are just helping them to feel the love of God through your actions. So that's the attitude of all Christians. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, that's like the final theme of all Christian behavior, that we overcome evil by doing good things. Glory to God. Amen.